Welcome to the Mindful Muscle Podcast. We have special guests, friends of ours from FitBod, but they have a highly successful podcast called Nacho Fitness Coach. Kaylee and Sarah, how are you doing tonight?
Great. How are you, Gio?
Better than I deserve. And to my co-host, my faithful Jody, how are we today?
I am fantastic. I'm looking forward to getting to know these ladies more. But in case anybody is new to our podcast, maybe you're already a listener of Nacho Fitness Coach, Gio and I, that we are the hosts of Mindful Muscle. We're two fitness fanatics that have each individually went through our own fitness transformation. And together we've lost about 140 pounds and we've been able to maintain that weight loss.
Amen. And that's the key. Now, ladies, we'll start off with this question. How'd you come up with this cool name, Nacho Fitness Coach? Let us know.
You want to start with the story, Kaylee?
I think
you tell it better.
Well, the origin of the podcast itself was that I literally one night had a dream that Sarah and I, because we were just friends, we were kind of mom friends, we live in a small town, and I had a dream that we started a podcast, and I texted her and told her about my silly dream. And she laughed. And then a few hours later, she came back and said, let's do it. And I was like, that's so silly. No, I don't do stuff like that.
Because I already denied her request to, she would have fitness questions a lot. And she was trying to start her own journey. And she would come to me asking questions, or she'd send me videos or articles, things that she's like, should I do this? Can I do this? What should I do? And I was like, I'm not your coach.
No.
And so I already had denied her 6 months before this dream where I was like, I'm not your coach. No, not your. And so it's kind of a play off of that, actually.
And so then the Nacho part, I think, we originally at one point going to call it not your fitness coach. And then, just organically,
if you say it fast Nacho. Enough.
And mm-hmm. kind of a cornerstone of our friendship anyway, even before the podcast, was one thing that we regularly do together is go eat at our local Mexican restaurant
once a month
together for Taco Tuesday.
Yes.
So it kind of all came full circle for those variety of reasons. So.
Okay. So one of you, though, obviously I know who it is, but let the audience know, one of you is a trained seasoned coach and one of you is a novice. Let the audience know who is who and how did you connect?
So I am the seasoned fitness professional. So I've been in the industry just as a hobbyist and through my own personal transformation actually as well for about 12 years. And so that has kind of been my path and my journey. And then it is a small town and we have daughters that were born within 8 hours of each other. Mm-hmm. And so, you sometimes make friends through your kids. And so we started having some random play dates or we would run into each other. And so that's kind of how we met years ago, mm-hmm. 5 or 6 years ago, I think. Even though there's a longer story to that where she actually met me many years before that and I didn't know who she was, but it happens that way sometimes.
Fine.
It's fine. We know each other now. So that is kind of how I started. And then she's the beginner.
I am the beginner. And I guess that's kind of a whole story in itself that long story short, just entering motherhood and dealing with everything that comes with trying to find yourself while also trying to find, your place as a mother of other human beings, which can be really overwhelming. And so I think, my kids are 9 and 6 and their baby years were, as a good mom, but those years were really hard on me and the way that I treated myself personally. And so I think as they kind of started getting older, you have that moment of I need to do something for me. I have to, and I have to be okay for my kids. So, kind of culminated into this.
So she just started Googling stuff. And because she knew that we own a local gym and I've been in the fitness and I've, been training people for many years. And so I think she just saw me as a sounding board.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd maybe have opinions about the information she was coming across through her Google searches. Yeah. And I do have opinions.
She does.
About that. And so that kind of just becomes the whole premise of the podcast itself. So.
So Kaylee, tell me a little bit more though, because I kind of know your story. Tell me a little bit more about how, you know, what you were going through as a mother drove you to look into fitness, and why did you go into that?
Sure. I think throughout my 20s, you know, and I got married in my early 20s, and throughout my 20s, fitness wasn't really on my radar because I never really battled with weight. And not that I was, you know, healthy per se, but it was never something that I was like, oh, you know, I have to lose this weight. And so I kind of like, you know, put it on the back burner. And then I had my first kid when I was, I don't know, 28. And that all went fine, you know, coming into motherhood. I had a miscarriage in between my two girls. Then had my second daughter. After I had my second daughter, we had a third pregnancy that did not, you know, go full term. And I think that was kind of the catalyst for, like, that was right during COVID, and there were just so many things going on. And I think in like the midst of depression and, you know, dealing with COVID, which was the same thing everybody else was dealing with at the same time. I think I just kind of had that wake up call. I'm seeing myself in pictures. I'm seeing myself in the mirror, and I'm like, I don't like what I see. The weight did start catching up to me. I was drinking more alcohol than I probably should have been at the time.
Mercy.
Because that's how I was coping, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of a slow, but you know, I knew Sarah, and I was like, here, I have a friend who, like, she seems like she knows a few things. I don't know anything about fitness. I definitely did not then. Because back then it was like, you know, it was like, oh, I have to do hours of cardio. That's what I started doing, was running. Because that's what I thought fit people did.
Yeah, you know, not to pick on women, but what is it with women and cardio, right? And it's not women per se. It's what society pushes upon women.
Yeah, that was the first thing that came into my mind. I'm like, so, you know, so I did a couch to 5K. And I don't regret that. I think it was a good thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it broke me out of a lot of, got me out of my comfort zone a lot. And I realized a lot, learned a lot. But it was kind of my foot in the door, so to speak.
Now, you say you're a beginner. When did your journey actually start?
Probably that, 2 years ago, mm-hmm. when I started running.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you still consider yourself a novice?
Do I? Yeah. Probably. It depends what angle you're at.
Well, and that's just like, I have not, I mean, you know, I did FitBod, and I have tried a few different things since then. Mm-hmm. What I have not done is like actually seek the help of like an actual, you know, paid for a professional fitness coach. Because at this point it's kind of like, we have the podcast, and
now she's not an obvious anymore. She already knows it. Right? Like, no, I'm kidding. It's part of the gag. It's like kind of part of the shtick, because if somebody, you know, tells me the right thing to do, then I'm not the beginner.
She wouldn't be the beginner anymore, and our podcast would be over. So
I was thinking more like, is it imposter syndrome? Because I've been doing this almost 7 years. I just became a certified personal trainer back in September, but I still feel like somebody's going to
feel that way.
Like, she's not a fitness person. Am I a fitness person?
Right.
So I know I struggle with that.
I think if you would have, you know, 15 years ago would have said like, hey, you know, you're going to end up on a fitness podcast. Like, absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely not. But
same.
It's funny because there are a lot of things that like, there are a lot of areas that I do know a lot of things about, and I would consider myself very knowledgeable on. This is not one of them at all. And so the fact that like this is kind of becoming the thing that I'm doing is really funny, because.
But I think, Sarah, it makes you more relatable, especially if somebody is starting out. Like, it's to me helpful to have somebody that can relate to them.
Absolutely.
And also somebody that has experience to help lead the way. So I think that's awesome.
I think that's what people are looking for right now. I know, and since I've kind of started my journey, and I've been trying to like follow people on social media, because at first I didn't know the BS from, you know, who I should be following or who I should be taking advice from. I do have a better idea now, but it is kind of the people that are like real, and I don't want to follow the 20-year-old, you know, college student with no kids who has endless time to work out, and you know, like, that's not relatable to me. So if somebody can hear my story You'd be like, well, she's, you know, 38 years old. She's doing it. Great. I get, you know, that's what I'm here for.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And in the beginning, you mentioned that the name of the podcast was going to be Not Your Fitness Coach. Sarah, why didn't you want to not be her fitness coach?
Great question, Gio. I'm glad you asked it. Why did you not want to be my fitness coach? I was like, you can't afford me.
No. High roller.
We're spelling tea.
But that's part of, I feel like what makes it real is because it gives us an opportunity to banter as if we're like true friends sitting around a table. Right. Like, obviously, if I'm in a professional setting and I'm working with a client, my answers are a lot more, you know,
by the
I don't
book.
Want to say predictable, but professional and by the book. And I'm like, if you're going to pay me, we're going to do this correctly. Yeah. And I'm going to have super empathetic and politically correct answers
right.
to your questions. And we're going to keep this professional because it's a client, you know, trainer kind of relationship.
Yeah.
And so this has actually been a really fun outlet because I can get out my almost real answer or like, you know,
yeah.
my more direct answers. But even that too, just over the years, I have had friends and family or personal people that I know closely try to be clients. And I always feel like it doesn't always end as
yeah.
well. And I don't really know why, like, I don't know if it's just because it's a complete stranger. I work with them differently versus the ones that I know, but you know, the clients that have just been ones that walked into the gym back in the day
yeah.
were a lot, it seemed to be overall a lot more successful than some people that know me closely and personally, but it just,
you know,
worked out that way, I guess.
From my own profession as a minister, there's a verse in the Bible that says, a prophet is never accepted in his own home. So it's almost like that familiarity doesn't make it click. But when somebody,
yeah.
you know, just looks at you as a fitness coach, they perhaps treat you differently than somebody who knows you outside of work and outside,
right.
you know, in the day-to-day. On your website, and I'm going to put you guys on the spot, friendly spot, nothing real serious here. But okay. on your website here, which is nachofitnesscoach.com, so if anybody wants to connect with the girls, just drop us a line, they say. But you're
yeah.
right here. Each week we set out to discuss, debunk, agree, and disagree with many of the facets of fitness culture. So tell me something you like to debunk or something, yeah, that you agree and disagree. Give us some of that slice of the pie.
Well, I think we kind of touched base a little bit on that. The biggest one that I do want to debunk with women is that cardio is king. I do feel like there's still this stigma around strength training. And so that's probably it. Out of any of the different topics that we'll talk about, if the one thing that I could get to stick that stays that we debunk is this myth around heavy strength training, because it is just such an important part of the puzzle. It's not the only part of the puzzle, but it is a very big piece that I think it's really underestimated. Our diet culture has been telling us for way too long that it's, you know, that we need to eat less or just go run it off or all of these things. And so I think that's been the biggest one we've been trying to debunk is trying to get people to understand the value, the health benefits. It doesn't have to be aesthetics, but health benefits around heavy strength training specifically for women, but we do have a lot of men that listen to our podcast
yeah.
too. So I think that some of that's ringing with them. So that would be what I would say is probably one of the bigger ones we debunk. I don't
agree.
Know. Yep. What would you say?
I would agree with
that. As a beginner.
Yeah.
Because you didn't think that was a part
I
of the
didn't
puzzle
know.
At all.
I had no idea about any of the benefits of strength training.
She'd never walked into a gym before.
Well, ish. I usually walked in like once and then just donated my money for the next 12 months.
You didn't know what a barbell was for sure before all of this. Did you really?
Know what one was?
You just never picked one up.
Probably not. No.
It's like that joke that goes around. You know, I signed up for the gym in January and nothing has changed. 6 months later, I'm going to go in and check and find out why not. Why is strength training important for women? Especially as they age. So, what would you tell the mother listening right now? What would you tell her? Why that's important?
It for me personally, it's to stay capable and strong to be able to pick up my kids when they're tired and they, you know, they need somebody to kind of help carry them. I want to get down on the floor and play with my kids. Like, it's for me, it's very directly proportionate to how I want to live my life and how I want to maintain my life moving forward. So a lot of it for me is that being a good mother, being able to carry and pick up my kids when they need help. Looking forward, hopefully far into the future, you know, we've talked about it on the podcast, but my biggest fear is not being able to go to the bathroom by myself because my leg strength is just not there. And so we actually came across, it was a white paper that was actually published that the number one reason why people end up in assisted living facilities is because they cannot get off the toilet by themselves, which is super scary to me. And I just know that at any age, it's never too late to start. You know, you can go through and build muscle really at any point in time. It's never too late. And it also has a direct relationship to your bone density too. You know, as women, we talk a lot about osteoporosis and they just tell you to drink milk, but yeah, heavy strength training and stressing your body can do way more for your bone density than that, in my opinion. So
I couldn't agree with you more. A trainer once told me a long time ago, I'm training to be old and independent without having to rely on anybody. And that has always stuck with me.
Because I mean,
there's just things that I never thought about before, you know, and then Sarah starts telling me, you know, saying these things. I'm like, oh crap. Like,
literally speaking of which, I was going to bring that up. You and I have 9-year-olds, 5-year-olds. I got a 3-year-old, and you know, when the little one is screaming, ready to wipe, know what I mean? Right. I don't want to be screaming that when I'm 90.
You're stuck there waiting for somebody to come help you. And I'm like, no. Yeah. And we recently in our place, we had some water and some sewage issues. And so we ended up upgrading our toilets. And the plumber looked at me and he goes, yeah, this is great. You know, I'll get you these ADA height toilets. I said, don't you dare bring that into my house. I want the low one that I'm still having to sit low and stand up. One, I do have kids and the ADA height toilets are a little bit challenging when their legs are so short. But I was like, don't bring that into my house. I want my hip crease to get below my knees as long as possible with everyday life things so I don't lose it, you know? And so people just slide into high toilets and all these things and don't realize over the course of time how detrimental that really can be just outside of strength training in the gym. Life choices.
And now going back to your website, so now you talked about something you debunked. What is a fitness thing that people underestimate? Like something that doesn't get enough credit, but that you think is like more people should be doing or more people should be getting involved in?
I have an answer, but what's your answer, Kaylee?
I don't know. You go.
For me, I feel like sleep gets really underestimated.
Oh, that's a good one. Here, let me go.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I got it. Now you got it. Okay.
I think sleep. That was a good answer though. I agree. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just need Sarah to hold my hand through. She's the adult in the room.
So how many hours in should people get?
I mean,
7 to 9.
I do feel like it can vary for people. I think 6 is way too not enough. But I do think I have done presentations in front of room full of women, and I've had this screen that pops up on my presentation, and I talk about sleep, and I say 7 to 9 because I feel like it's a pretty standard answer. It's a pretty standard range. I mean, some people can vary within that, and I always say, and ladies, 6.5 does not round up to 7, and half the room laughs because most of them are only probably sleeping 6 to 6.5. And I'm like, it needs to be, I believe, a minimum of 7 quality hours of sleep. I know personally, I don't wake up on my own till probably closer to 9, between 8 and 9. And it is just, I think it's got a whole lot of health benefits that definitely get underestimated. Just taking care of proper recovery.
Yeah, I've always liked sleep just because I was a very lazy person and I like sleep. And I don't think I guess in the past I've been consistent in my sleep routine that I'm much more aware of now. I go to bed at 9. Well, we get in bed at 8. Mm-hmm. We watch a little TV. We go to sleep at 9. I'm up at 5 every day, mm-hmm. except for when we record, and that's hard on me.
Well, you know, sleep has an impact on nutrition. People don't realize is if you're not getting adequate sleep, the hunger hormones are going to be flowing, mm-hmm. and your impulse control is going to be impacted, and you're going to care less.
Yep.
And if you're trying to work out, your recovery is going to be worse, you know, and then your stressors are staying high, mm-hmm. because you're not properly recovering. So then stress stays high, and, you know, people hyper-focus on different areas of health.
Fitness in general.
Fitness.
And that is a really important one that I think is really underrated or under thought about.
Yeah, underappreciated.
Yeah.
You know, the thing with me with sleep is I resonate with it, because if I get bad sleep, even though I didn't sleep a lot of hours last night, my watch told me it was deep quality sleep. So even mm-hmm. though I'm yawning a little bit throughout the day, my exercise was good today. I feel energized. However, if it's one of those nights where I didn't sleep well, I didn't get enough quality sleep, I'm irritable. You know, my kids know to stay away, you know, the wife is on, you know, everybody stays on that side of the house. And so to me, sleep is, and then my willpower is at its weakest. Mm-hmm. So sleep is definitely something very important for me. And yet it's funny how same parents, we have 3 daughters. I have my oldest, she stopped napping at 6 months and she's up. It doesn't matter what time you put her to bed, she's up at 5:36. And then my middle child, if I don't wake her up, she could sleep till noon. So it's amazing how everybody's sleep is different. So you have to find your sleep window for sure.
Yeah.
That being said, you go to bed early. I know Jody goes to bed early. I go to bed early. Sarah? What time do you go to bed?
I need to go to bed earlier. So for years when I would have personal training clients starting at 5 a.m., I mean, I'd be in bed by 8:30, so that I'd be up by 4:30 to get to the gym in time. And that is definitely my preferred, I feel like, pattern. I have not been as consistent with it since I've had kids, because the time I need to shift the time that I get my work done, because right now I'm getting them in bed and they go to bed early. All my kids are in bed by 7 p.m., and then I open my computer and that's when I work on stuff, you know? So that can be very tricky, is when you start getting your computer open.
Yeah.
You start scrolling through your cell phone. Mm-hmm. That's when hours slip away really super quickly. So I'm trying to kind of rein that back in, or get to the point where I shift some of that work to the morning.
It's funny, because I always have texts, like I go to bed at 9 and my phone's like basically off. I don't get those texts. And then I wake up at 5 a.m. to like use late night texts from Sarah. And then I respond to her at 5 a.m., which I know she's not going to see for another 4 hours.
So my goal is this summer to kind of get some of that shifted. I just recently took on some strength and conditioning programming for our local high school, just to get some young athletes kind of active and down kind of a healthy just life path in general. And so they have a set time that needs to happen throughout the week. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be now my reason. I'm back to some scheduled, you know, session I have to be up for. So I'm going to start shifting that. So I would love to be in bed by like 9:30. That's probably my optimal, my optimal bedtime, which that's the way it was in high school. So I don't know why I never changed it, but
high school?
I'm going to blame that. I'll blame that once on the kids. I did. I was always in bed. I remember through high school.
Bless your heart.
That if
she was not a normal high schooler. Her high school experience. And
if I saw the bed before 1 o'clock in the morning in high school, that would have been early.
I remember that if
somewhere
I was still awake in my room, and my parents would come to the basement, which is where we had like our main TV, and I could hear the news starting, like, you know, the 10 o'clock news. Their little like sound. You know, their entry song.
Yeah.
I knew the next day I was going to be just toast. If I still was awake to be able to hear
that. I never thought about these things in high school.
I did.
At all. We were not born the same. Sarah was born this way. She just was born the same way. Like, I'm going to be fit and I have my healthy habits, and I love that for her, but we, some of us have to work a little bit harder, you know?
I mean, teenage Jody would be horrified to look, see how early 42-year-old Jody goes to bed.
Yeah. You know, we did mention that you're the professional here, but how long have you been a personal trainer? And I know you own a business. Tell us about how you got into ownership, because a lot of people really don't go down that route.
Sure. So my story actually started very similar to both of yours in that I was a transformation too. So I was a college athlete all the way through. And so then I did have a short stint as a runner because I graduated, I got a full-time job. I moved to a new city and I was like, what do people do? I don't have practice to go to now at 2 o'clock in the afternoon all the time. What do people do for like general activity? And I said, oh, well, I guess people run. That's all I would see people do. So I signed up to run for like a full marathon through like this, you know, fundraising kind of program. Did that. I'm not built to be a runner, but I kept it up because again, that's what I thought you did. You know, as an athlete, strength training was for performance, and you would spend significant amounts of time in the gym between practice. You know, I thought to me, 2 hours is the shortest workout I could have, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, how do you do that with a full-time job? It took me a while to kind of find a knowledge that it doesn't have to be 2 hours a day. You know, 30 minutes is plenty if you do it right. And so I started traveling for my job. I got into a career where I was eating in airports. I was staying in hotels. I was eating out for every single meal. Mm-hmm. And I would sit in airports and I would watch people that had been doing it for decades. And a lot of them were overweight. They looked tired. They looked miserable. And I was like, am I looking into my future? Like, you know, they'd be rolling their suitcases by. And I'm like, is this the path I'm going to? I don't want to do that. And so we had our company had like a big health, company-wide health challenge that my now husband and I did before we were even engaged. We all participated. We had these teams and it was kind of the catalyst to find something that was going to work for my career, Sarah, not athlete, Sarah. That's a hard transition that doesn't get talked about very much, is how do you go from being an athlete to just a healthy person? And so we then got married and then I could see myself falling back into like old ways where I was like, oh, well, I'm just back to traveling and I don't have a reason for a wedding and I'm eating out all the time and we're newlyweds and that's, we do date nights and we have wine and we do all the things. And I started not to feel very good, honestly. And so I had a roommate from college that found this transformation gym, did a program, and that's been how I got kind of dialed in, if you will, or at least just opened my eyes to, hey, maybe I'm not eating so well and maybe I should be working out differently. And then I just found an interest then in wanting to work with people, help them through their own transformations. And so that same gym, then once I got certified as a personal trainer, hired me on board and I was with them for 3.5 years. And then just through starting to grow our family and add kids, I mean, the personal training lifestyle is very grueling with the hours that you have to work that is available for people to do one-on-one training sessions. And for me, it was very emotionally draining because people love to talk while they're working out and you just get that dump, become a therapist.
Shut
you
up. Do.
And it's just like, oh man, okay. And so now I've got a baby at home. And through all of that, my husband and I have always been in business, entrepreneurial spirits, and had this opportunity along the way that we purchased assets to a gym that wasn't really being operated as a gym. It was more just a bunch of strength training equipment that was in a room attached to a chiropractor's office. And so we took it and turned it into a business. And that's kind of how we tripped up upon basically having a gym then through this whole process too. So
it's a great gym.
Yeah.
It is a great gym.
I don't have a lot to go off of. But yeah.
And I wouldn't, I know what you meant when you say you tripped in to it, but I look at it more like, and you'd probably agree, it's more like opportunity met, you know, your preparedness. You were prepared and you saw an opportunity and that entrepreneur spirit put it together. You were talking about looking at people and perhaps looking into your future. What fuels you now? Because I know Kaylee, you were a big Cheetos fan, right? Or Doritos. So how's that going?
Any junk food to you.
And what fuels your exercise now?
For me now, it is just a little selfish and vain, honestly. I mean, I do like to feel like if I'm looking in the mirror that I'm proud of what I see looking back at me. Mm-hmm. It helps confidence. It helps me feel like I'm giving confidence to my children. I think body positivity is really big, but I also believe that it should be in a healthy way. And, that's maybe to a little bit of just where my control freak side comes out, is I know that nobody else has control over what I'm putting in my mouth other than myself.
Yes.
Nobody has control over, you know, whether or not I choose to go get a workout in. And I mean, stage of life I'm in right now, there's not a whole lot of gym sessions that are happening because I do have 4 little kids. They're 9, 7, 5, and almost 3. And
you have 11 billion other things going on.
I do. We've got a gym, and now we opened this other business. And so there's lots of things I'm balancing. But what I do focus on is there's a very rare day that I'm under 10 or 12,000 steps.
Yeah.
I drink my water. I'm making sure that I'm having consistent meals, whether they're all the perfect meal or not, maybe not. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm trying to stick to the basics. I do pick my kids up a lot throughout the day. I sit on the floor with them and I find different ways to make sure I'm still being super physical.
Yeah. And we found in our episodes, because we do caliper body composition, that, you know, she hasn't been working out. She hasn't been, you know, super, you know, on top of the working out in the last.
Which does make me sad because I love doing that. But it's my stage of life right now.
We found that like her body composition over 6-7 months really didn't.
It decreased, I think.
I think it went down and she's, you know, she's not in the gym. But I think that just goes to show you that like the day to day, like she really does live her life in a way that like she's, I don't know if you're conscious of those things or if that's just who you are as a person.
I mean, I do try to pay attention. Yeah. I think when you stop paying attention, that's when things start catching up with you. But I do feel like there's another thing that gets underestimated in the fitness conversation. You know, you can go to the gym every day for an hour, and that's, what are you doing with the other 23 hours of your day?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. That's only 5% of your week, and that's even a lot. So, I mean, it does all play into the picture.
Mm-hmm. That was really eye-opening for me when we did that second body composition and yours had, you know, gone down. I was like, oh, mine had gone down, like, barely, and I've been actively working out and, like, running for the last, since we did the first one, and I was like, oh. You're still doing better than me.
So, girls, ladies, you know I was going to ask you. So, did you finally try the edamame pasta? How did it go? Because I know one time we spoke about you trying tofu, and that didn't go too well.
It did not go well for her at all.
So, not a fan
of the tofu.
Yeah.
You and I talked a few days ago and you reminded me that we had a previous conversation about the edamame pasta and you were like, hope you tried it because I'm going to bring it up on the episode. And I was like,
it had been on my list. I was like, I need to get that because I really am interested in trying it,
And I'm like, we have to find this.
I already got it coming. We had to order it because there was like no
We're in the middle of Nebraska.
We
don't have edamame at our local grocery store. So we got it. Sarah handed me a box last night. We think we both tried it today.
Yeah, I had mine. And so I was kind of scooping out of the pot and kind of mixing it with some different things. But it is delicious.
It is really good. And my kids loved it.
Yeah. I can't believe you gave them food homework.
Yes. Well, because they asked me about it on their podcast. So I told them they had to try it. And then once we decided we were going to have them on, I was going to hold them accountable.
My almost 3-year-old, like she wouldn't let me finish the bowl. She was,
my 6-year-old loved it. She said,
so how'd you made we it actually, like, did you make it like regular spaghetti or olive oil? What kind of sauce did you put on it?
So I cooked it, I boiled it, and that was ready. And then out of the pot, I did one bowl where my mother-in-law had given my husband for Christmas one year, like these flavored olive oils. And they were like all these little sample jars. And so there was like a garlic olive oil that I put in one with some, you know, sea salt and cracked pepper. And that was good. And then yes. So good. And then the next little bowl, I just did like a little bit of butter and then just the sea salt, which was also delicious. And then I was like, okay, I think if I would do like maybe a good, like a little bit of like creamy Alfredo sauce with some mushrooms and some chicken breast. I was like, that, now we're talking. So yeah. I already was going through kind of piecing together like how I was going to spice it up next time. But I don't think Kaylee went that far.
Okay. So I had Jimmy John's for lunch today. Listen, I had a busy day. I did a lot of running around. We got home. I got home with my Jimmy John's and I was like, oh shoot, I got to do that edamame pasta before we go record. So I just boiled a little bit of water, put the pasta in, boiled it. I'm trying to drag this out in as many steps as I can.
You didn't taste it. Did you taste it?
We tasted the pasta. I had a few. I was so full from the Jimmy John's.
All right. Well, finish it.
I liked look. It. You can fail her, Gio. You can give her an
F. No. I tried it. I tried it. And my kid, no, because my 6-year-old is a huge, she loves pasta. And I was like, oh, the green is going to like turn her off. She's not going to see into this. Oh, she loved it.
Nice. Good. I mean, I love it. 4 ounces of that is 42 grams of complete protein. And so it fills you up more than wheat pasta. So I'm I should get like some sponsorship for edit.
You should.
You should. Yep.
Jody, go ahead, jump in here. If not, I want to transition to your podcasting though, right? You guys decided to do this. Tell the audience where they can find your podcast and what season, what you guys basically talk about, and then we'll dive more into it.
You want to go? It's like, should we rock, paper, scissors? Like,
all right, go ahead, do it. Ready?
Here we go. All right, who's going to do the story? Okay. Ready? 2 out of 3 or just one?
This is one.
Just one.
Yeah. You got to tell it.
So you won. So you do it.
We didn't agree upon the terms before we went for it. You go. Okay. So we, it really did start with Kaylee. She had this dream. And because we had been bantering for probably 6 months at that point with these questions, I just thought this would be a really great kind of perspective on getting these conversations heard. Because so many people, I think more people relate to her and her position and her stance and where she's at in her journey far more than anyone relates to kind of my opinions. But because it is not just, I mean, sometimes I do bring up white papers and we talk about some things a little too scientifically. I try to keep it more just friends at the dinner table and asking questions, and we really just will find stuff. Or it started off where she would bring articles to me that she would have read or found online, and we would just kind of talk about it. And so I was like, we should do this. And she goes, no, we can't, we don't know anybody, like we don't have any equipment, we can't do anything. And I was like, I know a guy. And so we got Alan in. He's Audio Alan, and he helps us behind the scenes and make sure everything is on point, with how it sounds. But we structure everything in seasons. And so we do 24 episodes per season. They come out weekly on Wednesday mornings at 5 a.m. Central Time.
Okay.
But we do batch record because we do have...
We're busy.
We're moms.
We can't record every week.
And I just knew if we would record every week, we would probably fizzle out after 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that there was enough content that we could talk about and share and would be helpful for people that I thought it was worth the long haul. So we batch record over weekends, but it's more evergreen kind of content that I feel like is relatable at any point in time. And we get it out there, and I guess we're just now recording season 4. So we're over a year in.
So you mentioned 24 episodes per season, once a week. So when is the break? Right?
We have not had a break. We just
I'm talking about, yeah. So you don't take a summer break. Okay.
No, we just roll over.
There are 26 weeks. So somewhere there's a break. Or you just
have kept rolling through. Okay. And we started season 3 at like 48 weeks then technically.
Yeah.
So we didn't start on the calendar year. So it was hard for us to figure out if there was a point to take a break or not.
There's never like when season 3, our last episode of season 3, then the next week will be, and I think that's going to come out May 7th, will be our first episode of season 4.
But we switched up the thumbnails. We switch up the thumbnails, the color scheme. We record a new intro to give people some variety.
The funny thing is, we don't know what we're doing. No. I think people think
made this up along the way.
Wait a minute. This looks like you know what you're doing. This is like adorable. So tell us how'd you guys come up with these little.
I'm going to explain the cartoon to you because it actually is kind of a funny story. As I think, like, probably back in season 1, AI was just becoming like a big thing. And my husband's he's in the tech industry. So I was kind of like, I kind of knew about this whole thing, I think, before it became super general knowledge. And so I started messing around. I knew you could do like text to picture, like AI. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, it'd be fun to come up with a little like cartoon or whatever. And so I put in like 2 female fitness podcasters, like headphones, tacos, whatever. And just to see like what it would generate. And I went through like probably 50 of those and they were all horrible. And then it came up with one that was like a super, we should post it sometime.
I was going to say,
Very, very rough, ugly version of what you see on the screen. And so I sent it to Sarah and like you couldn't tell like what the foods were, like it was really rough. And so Sarah ended up like, we loved it. Sarah ended up like sending it off and having it like cleaned up by somebody, and this was kind of what they came back with. But the original version of this always just makes me laugh.
Oh, I've got it. I don't know how well you'll be able to see it on the camera if I hold it up, but it is like, maybe we'll have to share it with you at some point, but it's very rough and janky.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, but okay. But no, I mean, it's adorable because I think it captures the to be more laid back and just a friendly, not like you said earlier, you do some white papers, but it's not mainly that. And so I think it's awesome how it captures your vibe. Now tell us about the merch, because I see that you have merch on the website and you're wearing it, rocking it.
It's just another thing we do to like trick people into thinking like we know what we're doing.
This is where I say my marketing degree come in handy a little bit. I'm putting it to you. So
we have the merch on the website, which we've got our
look at that.
Okay. Wine tumblers. We've got
Hey Jody, shirts. We gotta step up, Jody.
I know.
I think we're the only one that orders our own merch.
We are. We think. But it's fun. I mean, it's just something fun to be like, you know, it's a talking point more than anything and just kind of fun. So
how do you guys find your guests? And what kind of guests are you looking for? If somebody wanted to be a guest on your podcast, how do we go about talking to you and getting in contact? And where can people find you outside of the website? I know we have your handle at Nacho Fitness Coach. It's on Instagram, but where else?
You're the social media manager. You should maybe talk about this.
Yeah, I mean, as far as our guests go, I mean, we've done a lot of like, I think more personal relationships that we have. Sure. You know, Sarah's got a lot of, you know,
started with my personal contact.
Past clients and just people that she kind of knows through the fitness industry. And then I kind of connected with all of you guys through FitBod. And, you know, now my social media basically is just fit people. All fitness people.
Great. She's in it now. But our handles are either Nacho Fitness Coach, or some of them didn't like that many characters, so it could be Nacho Fit Coach. Mm-hmm. But Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok.
Things.
Yeah, all the things. It's some combination.
You guys are on TikTok? You dare try
he's
TikTok?
He's the TikToker.
We are, you know, we post like, you know, short clips from the podcast or some behind the scenes stuff. And we're hoping to do some more of that. I think, you know, our first few seasons were guess more or less kind of experimental, like, where's this going to go? But now we've got the camera set up and we've got this whole thing that, you know, hopefully we can get a little bit more behind the scenes content because we have fun here.
We do have fun here. And that's helped, like the batch recording, I feel like has helped with that tremendously, mm-hmm. because we will have an opportunity to sit down and we record episodes over an entire weekend. And then once we get things edited, then our gear kind of switches to how can we promote this? How can we get the word out? You know, how can we engage on social media? And so it's freed up some time for us to be able to do that between the recording sessions, which mm-hmm. has been kind of fun because then we kind of enjoy it from there. So.
Okay. You guys are on YouTube or no?
Yeah, we do publish our episodes right now to YouTube, and we have some shorts and some clips out there already.
You got to promote that. Get us all the links you want. We'll put it on our show, and we'll
everywhere.
Do shorts
We're
and
just
stuff.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's good. That's good because look, I think your podcast resonates with people because we're not some paid influencers. We are your average person who the average person can connect to, talk to, message, and get real down-to-earth advice. And I think that's more and more people are looking for that today.
Well, because it's so hard to weed through. I mean, there's so many out there that like, we're not monetizing on our podcast. We have no reason to lie to you. Like, this is very real, authentic. Like, this is what she's doing. This is what I'm doing. And, you know, we have no reason to lie to anybody.
So let me ask you, Kaylee, she's, certified coach. Do you have any plans on getting your certification? Because look, here's why. No. The pressure's on me because Jody is and I'm studying for mine. I got to pass this exam already.
I honestly don't. I think we have just now started having the conversation of possible stage competition.
Fitness competition.
Ooh. Possible. Nice. Both of you or...
Well, I have a history in that. I went through a few years where I did multiple competitions. My last one I did was 9 months after my oldest was born.
So almost 10 years.
So I,
man, talk about pressure, losing the baby belly and going into a competition.
She did it.
That was the whole thing where I was pregnant with her for 41 weeks. And then I literally stepped on stage 41 weeks after I had her. And so that was my whole thing where I was determined to prove people wrong. I mean, I was still nursing. I mean, all of the things. And it's like I had an infant and I knew I could do it. And that was having something that is out there for me to stick to my plan.
Well, and Sarah, you said you need, like, in order for her to, like, really buckle down and get to those big goals, you need something that you're working towards. And I can relate to that. And so when Sarah brings up fitness competitions, I'm like, maybe.
So what's going to push you over the edge to do it? Because you're thinking about it, but from thought to action, what's it going to take?
I think my biggest weakness right now is nutrition. And I think that's going to be the biggest hurdle for me to get over. Not that I don't think I can do it, but I know, you know, I've gotten a pretty good groove, you know, as far as working out or that aspect of it, but the fitness or the nutrition is that's going to be a hurdle. I would love to see us do it, not together, but together, you know what I mean?
Yeah, at least training together, because you're not going to be in the same field because of your experience, right? And so training together would be nice.
We could change the name of the podcast to Nacho Fitness Competition Coach.
Look, hey, Kaylee, look, I understand where you're coming from on the nutrition because I've been on maintenance since December and I'm thinking of going on a cut and I postponed it a week and I'm supposed to start tomorrow and I'm like, maybe another week. Like, I like eating.
So I didn't think that was going to be the hardest part, but so far I really haven't been able to get over that hurdle of like really dialing in my nutrition. I don't know. It's really hard for me. We'll see how that goes.
But I think that's That's very normal, though. That's so common. A lot of people can get into the routine of working out. It's the nutrition
that's
part.
That's not the hard part at all. But, yep.
And what about you, Jody? Curious. Ever thought of doing a competition?
Probably not, because I go to a gym and they're a bodybuilding gym and they have posing and coaching, and the things I overhear, it makes me worry if it would hurt my relationship with food. I overheard one competitor complaining about one of the judges, and they said, well, he likes the women to look healthy, and that's ridiculous. I'm like, wait, what? It's a bad thing that they look healthy, opposed to what? Like, what are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing?
I think that's what's so interesting about the competitions, is that I was just talking to my husband about that this morning, is that like the things that I think you have to do in order to get there are not healthy. Like, they're not sustainable. There's not a way you can like live your life. Once you're done with the competition, like you have to ease back into like, you know, more healthy habits.
It depends on how you get there. I mean, if you go fast and furious and run right into a competition, your chances of having sustainable habits through that process are probably zilch. And that's where you see a lot of the yo-yoing happen. But, you know, for everyone is different for sure.
We'll see. I know. I have no desire to become a personal trainer at all. I should not be dispensing any kind of fitness advice. I don't know why I'm on this podcast.
Then it would ruin the whole notion of the podcast, right?
Right.
Wait a minute. You're a beginner and you're certified? You mentioned earlier.
Do not listen to a word I say.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier about that you have a lot of men listening to your podcast, which is awesome. How do you... do you get feedback from them? How'd you find out, just from the stats and the analysis on your podcast?
I think of the people that actually like reach out to us or like leave comments or send us messages, most of them have been, 30, 40 something.
We started getting the comments, I think, and that's what made me actually look at the statistics on RSS. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what are the actual demographics? Because so far it's been a lot of males that have left comments, and we do have some females, but I mean, it's a pretty even mix. But I think having any male listeners at all was a surprise to me.
Well, we had a listener that was concerned when we switched into season 3 and we made our logo, the background of our logo was pink. Mm-hmm. He was worried that we were going to switch gears more towards like a, you know, women-based topics.
And I was like, nope, it's just the color for the season. It's fine. The content's staying the same. It's okay. So I was like, season 4 will be white. So
as you've now gone through 3 seasons, you're probably already recording into season 4. What would you say is the number one theme that constantly seems to be coming up, or any pattern that you've noticed in this time that may have stood out?
I got this. Settle down.
Because I don't have an answer to this one.
I think
I stumped
Sarah. The thing that we always go back to is like, we'll talk about a certain thing, or like I'll ask Sarah a question, and it's always like, well, it depends on what your goals are. And it used to frustrate me so much. I'm like, don't give me that BS answer. But like, I get, like now I get it. And I'm like, oh yeah, it really does depend on what your goals are. It always does.
Yeah,
we go back to that all the time.
If you tell somebody to cut who's trying to bulk,
right?
Well, you know, you're in the wrong spot. So what does the future hold?
Like dispensing, what's that?
No, go ahead.
Well, when you're dispensing advice, you know, any kind of fitness or nutrition advice, it's like if somebody asks you a question, there is no straight across the board answer. It always is. Like, what is your goal? Because the answer is going to always be different depending on what your goal is.
Yep. So true. And I think as the older we get, we know that truth becomes less black and white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it becomes dependent a lot of it on, like you said, what your goals are and not.
Yeah.
So look into the future, 5 years from now, where are you two? And what's the podcast doing? What would you hope? What are the dreams and aspirations for the podcast?
Well, there's no shortage of topics in this realm.
Turns out.
Yes.
So, you know, I feel like there's just always going to be something to talk about. I mean, I would like to see that we're still doing it, because I'm having a lot of fun with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been a great social outlet for me personally. It's been something scheduled that's given me a chance to still put some of my professional knowledge to use, even though I'm not currently doing one-on-one training in the gym. You know, I still am able to kind of, I think, work that part of the brain a little bit, maybe. Yeah. So I'd like to see us still doing it. I mean, of course, at some point you're like, well, it stays fun for so long, but you know, it gets streams if it's monetized at some point, or there's, you know, good connections that we get made, or it would be fun to see it take off, but that's not the reason why we're doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm. No. So, and I think this is always going to be, whether we get bigger or end up ending it at some point, what we're doing right now, and I try to keep this in mind, like where we're at right now is like always the part that's going to be like, remember when it was like super, super fun?
that's where we're at right now.
And like everything, it's all kind of up to us. We get to make the decisions, and it's a lot of fun right now. And so I think that's a great place to be. Yeah. A lot of fun stuff to talk about.
Two more questions. If you had somebody in front of you, whether male or female, and they're asking, what should I do to get started on this fitness journey? What would you say? And let me ask the second question. Then the second question, if you had that same person, but coming from the perspective, if I wanted to start a podcast, what should I do? What's the first step? So tackle those two.
Are we going to take turns on this one, or should I just go?
Go for it. I think the answer to both is find something and just be consistent with it. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to like unlock the answer to it. Find something, do something, and be consistent with it.
I do think people overthink it to get started a little too much. Just get started with something that you enjoy, and the rest will unlock its doors when the time is right. You know, but if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to be consistent with it. No. So I think just in general, finding a way to move your body more that you enjoy is a good start.
Mm-hmm. And I think as far as podcasting goes, I do follow a lot like on Threads now. I follow a lot of like podcasters, people just getting started in podcasting. And it is, you know, people are like, oh, I just dropped my first episode. Like, I only got, you know, a couple views or downloads or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, brother, buckle up. Because podcasting is not something, there is not a quick like payoff. We've been doing this for almost a year and a half, and
we're just doing it because we want to. It's
you
fun.
Have to do it because you want to. Podcasting is not, you're not going to get rich podcasting unless you're, what's his name? Can't think of his name.
I don't know, but I will say that there's a lot of benefit to having.
Right. Oh yeah, there we go.
That's true.
Let me give the ladies.
Having good equipment though.
If you want to help the ladies out, one way you can help them out is buy their merch. I love the hat. I may have to pony up for the hat.
I didn't even know that was on there.
Yeah, I just added that. I had a beanie that I ordered over the winter. And, you know, little pom-pom beanies.
Nice.
So, yeah, they're fun. We like them.
Is that a I was like, is that a shot glass? Mercy, no, it's not good.
A glass.
But now you just gave them that idea. So.
No.
There's going to be.
Well, ladies, this has been a blast. I want to thank you for gracing us on our podcast with your presence. And I love what you guys are doing. The moment Jody and I started the Mindful Muscle podcast, I knew in the future I wanted to have you two on because I love, look, one of my pet peeves is uptight people. Right. And I just love to be able to sit down with people and just not have to have my guard up and just relax and talk like people who've, even though we don't know each other, you know, for a long time, we can connect and make this an enjoyable episode. Jody, any final words before we let them have the final word?
Well, this was my first conversation with you ladies, and I kept shaking my head like, yes, especially when you talking about the importance of strength training and women. I was like nodding constantly. So it was a blast, and I'm definitely going to subscribe to your podcast. I only listened to Gio's episode because I wanted to be a newbie asking questions.
All right, ladies, let the audience know where they can find you and how to connect. And if they want you on their podcast, I guess, how can, are you open to that, and how can they find you?
Yeah. Yeah, you can always email us at nachofitnesscoach@gmail.com. And then I think
any of our social medias. I think I have all of our social medias actually linked on our website now. So if you just go to nachofitnesscoach.com, you can connect us through the contact form. You can find our social media. We watch all of our DMs. We watch the email. We love talking to people. So thank you for having us on. I mean, we love talking to each other, but we love meeting people that are out there doing the same thing, trying to get the good word out and encouraging people to keep going at it. And so, you know, we would love to be guests. We love to have new guests. And so it's just kind of been a fun ride so far. So,
all right, ladies, thank you very much. Until next time on the Mindful Muscle Podcast, thank you once again for joining us and be blessed.